why it is that Christians get baptized. And this passage shows to us that there is such a thing as death to sin, and there is such a thing as being alive to God. Now we can put it another way and say, what is a Christian? Now not everyone who claims to be a Christian is really a Christian. If your life does not match your profession of belief, then we cannot believe that you are a Christian. Your life and your profession of faith must match. They are inseparably linked. You cannot separate them. They are linked together. But if you find in any person whose profession of faith and Christian living are separated, where there is inconsistency, where you discover that he professes faith but he does not live accordingly, then where along the way he tries to live like a Christian when in fact he is not, you discover that that person has a doubtful profession. His claim to be a Christian is doubtful. And this passage shows to us very clearly that although a Christian is not yet perfect in this world, he will be perfect only in heaven. But nevertheless, there is something about this person who is a true Christian, and there is something about his profession of faith which makes it different from those who merely call themselves Christians and try to show signs of being a Christian, but along the way, they are not very convincing. Now, a true Christian lives in such a way that you can see a certain consistency about him. So, this matter is of great importance to us. Do you want to know whether you are a true Christian or not, or just merely professing to be one? Now, if you are not yet a Christian and you are interested in becoming a Christian, this passage tells you what is involved in becoming a true Christian. And there are three things that I want to draw out from today's passage. Now firstly, this passage shows to us, this part of the Bible shows to us, that a Christian is someone who is saved by grace. The word grace does not mean that the person is graceful in the way he carries himself, although many Christians are graceful in that sense. The word grace in the Bible simply means that God shows his mercy to undeserving sinners, which they have not earned. So you have not earned the mercy of God, but God shows it to you. So that is what we mean by grace. Now, a Christian is saved by grace. If he is saved by grace, then it cannot be based on his efforts or his works. And this is where a lot of people get it wrong. They are brought up in other religions and they come to the Bible's teaching expecting it to say to you that you must do certain things in order to make God accept you. So they are always looking for things to do. Things like charitable deeds. Oh, the more good deeds you do, the more likely you are going to be saved. But the Bible says no. That is not the way a person gets saved. What the Bible wants you to know is that salvation comes not by your effort. Now just think. Now what can you do exactly to make God pleased with your life? In the first place, you have gone away from Him. You were born in sin with a sinful nature. That sinful nature in you inclines you in the direction that is away from God. Very much like the clock that is wound, and the wound clock turns the hand in a certain direction. So because you are born with that sinful nature has inclined your life in the direction away from God. So you are ended with two problems. You have a sinful nature which you cannot change. And secondly, all through your lives, you have committed acts of sins against God. In your thoughts, in your words, in your deeds, you have not done right before God. So what can you do about your sinful nature? You cannot change yourself. And what are you going to do about all the acts of sins which you have caused against God, by which you have offended Him? You are guilty before Him, and God is a holy God. He takes note of all your sins, and your sins continue to cry out for judgment from God. God really needs to judge you because of all the wrongs you have done to Him. So you see now, you're ended with two big problems that you're unable to do anything about. You get yourself involved in religious rituals. You try to say many prayers. You try to fast. You try to involve yourselves in good deeds and religious rituals. All these are mere actions which cannot change your nature. And they cannot make up for the wrongs you have done to your Creator. God wants you to understand that you can do nothing to save yourself. You deserve damnation for all your sins. And since you cannot do anything to save yourself, and you deserve damnation from the holy God whom you have offended, what is left for you? Nothing except being punished by God. So God is coming to you and saying, I should be punishing you with eternal damnation, and you would have deserved it. But I'm also a gracious God, a merciful God. I want to show mercy to you. So all I demand from you is that you turn back to me. You just turn back to me for mercy. And that is the wonderful message of the Bible. That the God whom we have offended is the God who is offering us salvation. The God whom we have offended so badly that He must punish us is the God to whom we must turn in order to be saved. We rightly feel like running away from Him, but we know we have nowhere to run. So God is saying, there is one way by which you can be saved. Turn back to the God you have offended and plead for mercy from Him. And He is a merciful God. He wants to pardon all those who turn back to Him. Now, if you do not depend on the mercy of God, you cannot be saved. The true believer, the true Christian, has come back to God by the way God has given to him. And what is that way? The Bible clearly shows us that way is not a way of works. It is a way of grace. It is not a way of efforts on your part. It is a way of mercy on God's part. God has given us of His Son, Jesus Christ. He came to this world to do everything that you need in order to be reconciled with God. What did Jesus Christ do? He came to the world to live a perfectly righteous life. And He came to die on the cross in the place of those who would trust in Him. So if you turn from your sin to trust in Jesus Christ, Christ is regarded as having died for you in your place as the perfect sacrifice, so that you do not have to be punished by God. And when you trust in Jesus Christ who rose from the dead, He gives you the Holy Spirit to live in you. His righteousness is regarded as given to you in order that you may be able to stand before the holy God. And that is how you may be accepted by God, because Christ's righteousness is regarded as given to you, reckoned unto your account. So that is what is meant by imputed righteousness. Righteousness regarded as given to you. It is in that way and in that way alone that you can stand before God. So salvation is free and complete in Jesus Christ. But you must come and receive that free salvation by repentance and faith. Someone has said, here is the present all wrapped up and it is complete. You cannot add anything anymore to that present because it is already complete. It is being offered up to you. Now, in order to benefit from that free gift, you must extend your two hands to receive it. One hand is called repentance. The other hand is called faith. Now let us talk about each hand in turn. Let us talk about repentance. That leads us to the second point. A Christian is someone who makes up his mind no more to live in sin. Note very carefully, I do not say that he will no more sin, which is an impossibility. We say he has made up his mind to no more live in sin. That means that when we are not converted, we are living in sin. We live as we like. We do not bother about who God is and what he demands of us. We just live to please ourselves. And you know that we have a sinful nature which inclines us in the direction of sin. All our lusts, all our desires, all are turned inwards to ourselves. We are always doing everything to please ourselves. Everything must suit us, suit our time, suit our convenience, and we become so self-centered and so selfish, and we are so egoistic, and we are so self-opinionated. We think that we are so clever, so smart, we are so good compared to others. And that is what sin does to us. We have been living this type of life for so long until the gospel comes to us and we feel pricked. Don't you feel pricked? As you hear this, your conscience tells you that this is true. This is true about me. Yes, this is true about me. I have been very selfish. I've been egoistic. I've been living to please my lusts. I've been following my desires. I've always wanted things for myself. Everything must be around me, me, me. See how many times you say me or I. You see, listen to the children. Me first, me first. I must be first. Look at the Pharisee in the parable of the Lord. The Pharisee and the tax collector. The tax collector was at the back of the church, beating his chest because of his sin. And that Pharisee was so self-righteous standing at front and said, Lord, look at me. I am not like that man. And I am not like this. It's always I, me. That's because you are unconverted. That's why you are so selfish. That's why you are so self-centered. That's why you are so egoistic. You see? Because you have been living for yourself. But when the gospel came to you, it pricked you. And you became stricken with a sense of your guilt, a sense of your shame over all your failures. And you know that you have sinned against God and against man. And although a lot of people do not know what he has done, you feel unpleasant. There is that sense of unpleasantness which we call the conscience. The conscience continues to prick at you, speaking to you. And when the truth is heard, the Holy Spirit begins to do a work in you without your realizing it. And the call of the gospel come and say, you must turn. You must turn from that way of life. You must stop now and turn around and come to live a different way of life. So then, repentance can be defined as a change of mind leading to a change of life. So a change of mind leading to a change in your life. You turn from the life of sin. Turn from the life of living for self. Turn from living to live as you like. You turn from that type of life to come and live a different life where you want to please God. Why does a person get baptized? It is because he has repented of his sins. He does not want to live this way of life anymore. He makes up his mind to turn to live a different way of life. A person gets baptized to show that he has made up his mind not to live like that anymore. I am now dead to that life. I was once like that, but I died. I died already, spiritually speaking. I died to that life. Now I live in newness of life. I am a different person. I have repented and turned to the living God. I am a different person now. God is now my master. Before, sin was my master. When sin ordered me to do anything, I just did happily. But now I have turned and God is now my master. My old self is in the past. Although my body parts are still used to being controlled by my old master called sin. And often my body parts want to do those things they were used to doing. But now I have a new master. The voice of God comes to me. The word of God comes to me. And even often when my body parts are tempted to do those things that are wrong. But now because God is my master, I want to obey my new master. I submit my members, my body parts to serve God in righteousness. You see now. My old man is crucified in Christ. When I trusted in Christ, my old way of life is like crucified with him. Sin now has no more reign over my life. It still troubles me because my body parts were so used to obeying sin. But now I do not want to obey sin. When he calls, I wouldn't want to listen to him because my old way of life, living under him as my master, is over. My old way of life died. I now live in newness of life with the living God as my new master. Now in practice, sin continues to trouble us, trying to draw us to do those things that we were so used to doing, which we know are not pleasing to God. But it is up to you to say no to the beckoning of your old companions, your old way of life. It is up to you to say no to temptation. It is up to you to resist and put to death sin in your life. When temptation comes before you, you must flee and say no. And when you commit any sin, you decide to put it to death by God's help. You do not want to do that type of things anymore because it's not pleasing to God. The reason why you are able to put to death sin and to flee from temptation and to resist is because you have a new master. Now, righteous living is a clear mark of a true child of God. If you do not have righteous living, don't call yourself a Christian, because everyone knows you are not. That is why righteous living is married to your profession of faith. You can't separate them. It is important to understand this point, that too many people go around bluffing themselves only, not knowing that other Christians know that you are not really a true Christian. Because you see, I'm a living person. I'm not just body. I have a soul in me. My soul is spirit. You can't see it, but it is there. That is what makes me me. The body is only a shell for me to work and to interact, to live in this physical world. The real me is in my soul. And you have a soul as well. When I meet with you, my soul comes into contact with another soul. And I sense that you are without life. Often it is that people come to church and profess themselves to be Christians, but we feel uncomfortable. And then as we study the scriptures together, as we do things together, we sense that this person has no spiritual life. You may have picked up Christian jargon along the way. You may say the Lord this, the Lord that. You may come to church. You may carry a Bible. But I sense that there is no spiritual life in you. So you're bluffing yourself. You don't realize that true Christians already sense that you're not a true Christian. How do we know? Because the scripture tells us so. That a person who is a true Christian will live a distinctly righteous life. Remember, we are not saying he lives a perfect life. That is possible only when he's in heaven. We are saying the inclination of his life is towards wanting to obey God. In the past, he was facing the other way and living like that, heading that way. But now he turns and he's now living a different way of life. There will be times when he stumbles, when times when he falls, but his direction is that way. He wants to please his God. And that leads us to the third point. How is that possible? Is that Christian not the same as any others, including those who profess to be Christians but in fact are not? Now, how is that person different? How did he come to be different from others? So that brings us to this third point. A Christian is someone who offers himself totally to God. Now, in this passage, in verse 13, he says, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." The word "to present" is used twice. It is actually the same word that is used later in Romans chapter 12, in which the apostle urges the Christians or reminds the Christians the truth concerning their new life. In chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Now, to present here carries the idea of the Old Testament Jew coming to worship God. He brings his animal sacrifice to present to God. He's offering it to God in worship. So that idea is carried across to the New Testament. A Christian is someone who presents his whole person to God like a living sacrifice. If you have not given of your whole self to God, you are not a true Christian. You may come to church and say, "You know, this is my earning, I give you some back." So you think that is your offering. But God does not want your dirty money, because you are dirty. You have not given your heart to God, and you dare to say, "God, I give you this. See, how good am I to you?" See, when your heart is not submitted to God, that's why he does not want your dirty money, because you are dirty in his sight. What God wants is for you to give yourself totally to him. And you give yourself totally to him only through faith in Jesus Christ. You come to God only by the way he has given us, namely through his Son Jesus Christ. There simply is no other way. Because you remember we began by saying we have two major problems with ourselves. We have a sinful nature which we cannot change. And we have committed acts of sins against God, and we are terribly guilty before him. We deserve to be damned for our sins. What is going to be done about the sins we have committed against him? Only Jesus Christ can change us. Only Jesus Christ can take away our sins. Only by his death on the cross can our sins be cancelled. Only by the shedding of his blood can we be made clean. And that is how we become a Christian. When you want to offer yourself totally to God, you must come and trust in Christ, because Christ has offered himself as the perfect sacrifice to God. So you see now how it happens. You want to give yourself as an offering to God, but it's not acceptable to God. But when you come to trust in Christ, you are like united to Christ, so that when Christ died, he died in your place as an offering that is acceptable to God. If you die yourself for your own sins, it's not acceptable to God, because you are not the perfect sacrifice. Christ alone is the perfect sacrifice. So it is by faith in Christ that we may give ourselves totally to God. Now, remember this. We are told that we are to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. And it is in that way that we are given new life, eternal life. Then we are given new desires, and we are given new abilities. And then, the command for us to offer up our parts to God in acts of righteousness is possible. Okay? Let me explain another way. Here you are. You say, we are commanded to present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Verse 13. And then your members, your body parts, as instruments of righteousness. Now, in order for your body parts to be presented as instruments of righteousness, first of all, your total self must be presented to God, without which your body parts cannot be instruments of righteousness. Okay? It is like, here is your old car. It's breaking down everywhere, and it cannot run anymore. So you say, you know, oh, the carburetor is still working. Ah, you just use the carburetor. Oh, the suspension there, you can still use it. You see, and the mirror there is still okay. You use it. But it's simply not good enough. This little part here and there. What is needed is a thorough overhaul of the engine. That is where you must head for. Go right to the heart of the car. Replace the engine. Give it a new engine. Ah, even if you don't replace the carburetor or whatever, the small part, the mirror, the suspension, it is still in working order. That engine has been replaced and made new. So what is needed is a change of heart that comes about only when you trust in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it is not possible for you to offer your total self to God. And if you are not offering your total self to God, your members, your body parts cannot be used to serve God. So, in summary, we say, you need to repent, but you also need to have faith in Jesus Christ. When there is true repentance, there will also be faith in Christ. When there is true faith in Christ, there will be true repentance. They go together. So we have covered 3 points. A Christian is someone who is saved by God's grace. A Christian is someone who makes up his mind no more to live in sin. A Christian is someone who offers himself to God totally. And we know that all this can be true of a person when he comes to trust in Jesus Christ. Now, if you are not united to Jesus Christ by faith, it is useless to get baptized. A lot of people make this mistake. They are trusting in their efforts, they are trusting in rituals, they are trusting in external things. So they think that if I want to be a Christian, I get baptized, then I become a Christian. But that is not the right way. You become a Christian first, then you get baptized. You get baptized only to show that you are already united to Christ by faith. You have repented of your sin, you are trusting in Jesus Christ, you have given yourself totally to God, you want to live in righteousness for Him. So you are now a new person, born again by the Spirit of God. See, it is only when you are truly converted that you consider getting baptized. Baptism shows that you are united to Christ. So when you enter the water of baptism, it is like being buried with Christ in His death. When you come out of the water, it is like you are being resurrected with Christ. Otherwise, it is useless getting baptized. So we know now what the Bible teaches concerning becoming a Christian. It means that you really have given yourself to God totally by faith in Jesus Christ. It means that you have turned from your old way of life to live to please God. It means that you are now truly saved by grace, not by your efforts, not by religious rituals. So, if after tonight's message, there are those here who know that God is speaking to you and who respond to the message and come to faith in Christ, then you may request for baptism. Let me know if you want to get baptized. I will be more than happy to see whether you should be baptized or not. But otherwise, don't get baptized. And please remember another thing. If you have been so-called baptized before, when you were not actually a Christian, that so-called baptism is not biblical baptism. In other words, it was just a mere religious ritual that has no meaning. You say, but we mean that, it means this. No, what does the Bible say? That's what we are interested in. The Bible says that baptism is to show your spiritual union with Christ. So if you were not united to Christ, that so-called baptism of the past is not baptism. You have to consider getting baptized for the first time. And more important than the mere external act of baptism is what is meant. You must come to understand that you need to be spiritually united to Christ through repentance, through faith in Him, before baptism makes any sense. So may tonight be the night when God's Word speaks to you again. May tonight be the night when the Spirit of God wrestles with your spirit. May tonight be the night when you yield yourself to God in repentance and faith so that you can be properly baptized.